Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
How's everybody doing this morning? I'm quite sure we're all doing well. We're here in the household, with the household of faith, here in the house of God, here with our fellow brothers and sisters that lead the same lives that we do, encounter the same issues and problems that we do, but most importantly, have the same joy, the same happiness that each of us have. Not only are we able to awake from our bed of slumber today, but able to hear to assemble. What's really good is all the familiar faces and all the new faces that happen to be here this morning. It's always a good thing. It's always a good thing to be here in the household of faith. And those of you who are here visiting with us, we're glad you chose to be here with us. And we'd appreciate it if you would hang around for a little bit so we can get to know you. Just say hello. I'm not really here to preach to you this morning. I'm here to talk to you. You ever had those subjects that stay on your mind that you kind of dwell on? And when you stop to think about it, you're like, this is involved in a lot more areas of my life than I actually thought it was. The title of my lesson is, All It Takes Is That Much. Not much of a title, more of a thought process. Now, what does this thought process stem from? For me, it stems from faith. As a Christian, we place our faith in a being that walked this earth, lived the same life that we live right now, but yet he was sinless, he was perfect, never made a mistake. Now, we know that we're not going to live this life without making mistakes. We're going to mess up a lot. It happens, we're human. But the difference is, we have someone that we can turn to like a parent. Like for myself, for example. I always turn to my daddy about something. Yes, I still call him daddy. He'll always be daddy to me. If I ever have a question about something, I'm like, Daddy, what should I do about this right here? My daddy is pretty much a walking Bible. Anything I happen to ask him, he'll give me book, chapter, and verse, and some history on it. So yes. Growing up as a preacher's son, a little rough on me. But it was good. But I'd ask him, Daddy, what should I do about this situation right here? He's like, well, you're a Christian, boy. You know you got God on your side. You can turn to him. Next thing you know, here comes a book, chapter, and verses coming out everywhere. I do my best to try and memorize all that, but that's a lot of work. But it's good, though, because I see where it's taking him. And then, he'll give me a life experience about it. I'm like, hey, that makes a lot of sense. I see how that all goes hand in hand. I see how it goes hand in hand. And then I stop to think about certain things. Things that you place faith in. You realize you don't have to stop and think about, when you go to your car, is this actually going to start up? You know the car is going to do exactly what it does. You put the key in the ignition, or push button, or whatever it may be, you know it's going to start up. You don't have to think about it. You know it's going to happen. Do you stop to think about how many times you have to breathe throughout the day for it to happen? No. Your heartbeat. Do you stop to think about that? No, you really don't. I mean, sometimes you may ponder it like, wow, the circulatory system and heartbeat, that's such a really complicated thing. But you don't have to say to yourself, okay, heart, beat once, beat twice, beat again. You don't think about that. And I thought about that one time. I was like, you know what? You place faith in a lot of things. You know good and well, this heart's going to beat like it's supposed to. But we also understand that if this heart stops beating, there's a reason for it. But I have faith. I know that if something occurs the way that I think it should or I think it shouldn't, there's a reason why that happened. You ever had one of those days where it's like a domino effect? Everything that you could possibly think of to happen will happen. I had a day like this probably about a week ago. I take off, go downtown, go to hang out, realize I get all the way down there, I don't have my wallet. I have no way of doing anything that I need to do. Then I'm in a rush. I'm like, okay, I'm going to get back in time to do what I need to finish doing. And I was like, you know what, I can make it back home, get my wallet, make it back over here. And then I realized I left my keys where I just left. Now, the problem is, I was at the point where I really actually just wanted to cry. That's how upset I was. And then this thought process comes up again. To some people, maybe this is, some people would say, why would you even think? This is so ridiculous. But I started to slowly realize that it's going to be okay. Things could be worse. And why do I think this way? Because I'm like, I could be in a position where I don't know Christ. I cannot be a Christian, right? I could be in a position where I don't have the joy and peace that I have now, living each and every day of my life. Do I want to leave this world? No, not really. I mean, I'm only 33 years old. I wouldn't really like to go right now. But you know what? I know I'm going to a much better place. And people are like, why would you even think about something like that? All you did is just left your wallet, go home and get it. Sometimes you have to break things down very simply and put them into a realm like this to understand that, you know, it will be okay. I need to have faith that it'll be okay. I'm not going to have to spend any money for anything. Even though the gas tank is on empty and I got to make it to the other side of town, I have faith that's going to happen. That I'm going to make it over there. And my faith just isn't just necessarily in the car. Sometimes I got to say, Lord, just please just take care of me through this situation. Just let me get to the house, get this wallet, put this gas in this car so I can make it back to where I need to be. But two things that tells me is, one, it really doesn't take much faith to put you in the right direction. And two, the direction that you go to tells you a lot about who the source is that I need to go to place my faith in. I know good and well, if I place my trust in the being that said he will always be there for me, then I know everything's going to be okay. All I have to say to myself is, you know what? I woke up this morning, I'm alive right now, and each and every day I have an opportunity to not only do better, but to share the word, share the good news with others. You know what? This isn't even a problem. I'm not even worried about it. It's okay. It's okay. You know, faith is a very comforting thing. It's a very comforting thing. And so I just like to go into some examples that are here in the Bible of faith. Examples of faith. Faith that it doesn't seem like it's very much, but it's a lot. Let's look, take a look at Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. Matthew chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. And it reads, wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Little faith in the sense of, well, am I going to be able to do this tomorrow? Am I going to have this tomorrow? Therefore, take no thought saying, what shall we eat? Or what shall we drink? Or what shall we be clothed in? For all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father, and I want you to pay attention to this key word right here. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. So if he already knows what we need, why? And I'm not going to say we, I'm going to say I, because I'm guilty of this as well. Why would I worry so much about, I got this big project due tomorrow. I got laundry to get done. I got to clean the house. I've got this annoying neighbor that I'm trying to deal with. I got to get my uniform ready for in the morning. Why am I so worried about something like that? Why would I be so worried about that? Because we as humans have a tendency to forget. Like, wait a minute. Okay, let me put things in perspective. I'm alive. Okay, I'm alive. I got good health. Got a good job. I got good friends. And you know, the more I start to do that, the less that problem seems to be. You know, I've been so worried about something, and I have to admit, sometimes I have this issue. As my mother likes to call a worry ward, I have this issue where I will worry about something until I cry about it. It's pathetic sometimes. Sometimes I have to stop and put things into perspective. You know, I have a tendency to forget what I was worrying about, I look at them, well, what was I worried about? I don't know. I'm going to get something to eat. I'm hungry. I'll just forget all about it. But that's actually a good thing, because I am starting to do what he wants me to do. Place faith in him. And all it takes, not that much. Verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Key word or key phrase in this verse. Put him first, take everything else. How simple is that? That's about as simple. People like to say 2 plus 2. I put him first, he takes care of everything else. Everything is okay. So why is it still an issue? Oh, that seems a little too simple. Maybe I need to put him first, and he'll take care of everything else. Oh, but you know, I got to get there. Put him first, and he'll take care of everything else. How many times can he say it? What other language can he put it in for you to understand? You put him first, he'll take care of everything else. And when I say this, I'm also talking to myself, because as I said, sometimes I have a tendency to worry a little too much. In verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In other words, tomorrow has its own issues, it has its own problems, it has its own upsides, its own downsides. Why would I intentionally want to add more onto my plate when I can't even deal with what I'm doing right now? Believe me, I am one person that knows when I have a plate full of items, I can do this. I can be here in 20 minutes, I can take care of this in an hour, and I can still get laundry done, knowing good and well that I can't. Knowing good and well that I can't. Oh yeah, tomorrow, I got this coming up. Don't worry about tomorrow. You got enough issues to deal with right now. But it's an issue because you're trying to deal with it. Have faith. You know what? Lord, I know that you know what I need and what needs to be taken care of. You direct me. And if you let him direct you, guess what happens? Everything works out and you find yourself like, well, I got a lot of time on my hands. Yeah, because you let him take control of the situation, somebody who can actually deal with it. It's one of the things about being a Christian. Not only do we do this because we choose to, we want to, not only because we understand the reward, but just like with my daddy, I have somebody to turn to that can take care of my problems for me. And all I need, not that much faith, not that much. Now, if you look back in Matthew chapter 17, and you look at verse 20, it says, unto you, if ye have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed. I'm going to be honest with you. I think I've seen a mustard seed back when I was little. I think my grandmother showed it to me. All I know is that it's not that big. I can compare it to something that, you know, I have seen. Like, you ever actually looked at a grain of sand or just a single granule of salt? Pretty small, isn't it? Quite insignificant. Or so you would think. To give you a concept, to put into perspective you can understand, that's all you would need. And continue on the verse, ye shall say to this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Faith, about the size of a granule of sand, and that mountain moves. And nothing shall be impossible unto you. Faith is the key. You know, faith will make you act upon things. Faith will definitely make you act upon things. I remember one time growing up, I was riding a bicycle to my grandmother's house. And my brother was on the bike with my cousin. Well, he was going around the block, and he dropped his shoe. And I'm like, oh, I'll just ride on back and go get a shoe. Knowing good and well I ain't supposed to be out in the street, but I had faith that nothing was going to happen. Knowing I wasn't supposed to be out in the street, but I just wanted to go back and get my brother's shoe. Ironically, as I was turning out the middle of the street, here comes this big van. I still don't understand to this day where that van came from. It was nowhere in sight. Bam! I run right into the side of it. Right into the side of it. Me, I'm not so worried about the pain. I'm more worried about the embarrassment. which I really don't understand why, but I was. Now, my grandmother, very, very strong in the faith woman, very much so. So are my parents. So I get hit, and the moment I get hit, they're just laying there. I get up, pick up the bike, half my tooth is missing, walking the bike back to the sidewalk. And then I start crying. I'm like, what am I crying for? I'm okay. I'm walking back over here. And then I lay down and start crying on the grass. Of course, word gets back to the house. Strange enough, my parents, first my mother gets upset. What are they doing out in the middle of the street? Oh, Lord Jesus, I know you took care of him. I know he is alive. And I thought about that. Oh, yeah, she was upset. But she had the faith to know that God took care of me and that I was still alive. They later showed me, you know, how upset they were about me doing that, but they also showed their love in other ways, but that's another story. Faith, that much. Nowhere around. I'm about a block away. But she knows. The Lord has taken care of me before, and he'll take care of me again. I know he's alive. He better be alive so I can go see him. But she knew I was alive. She knew I was alive. She knew there was nothing wrong with me. But she had faith. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verse 19 and 20. Matthew 17, I'm sorry. Yes, Matthew chapter 17, but go back up to verse 14. Verse 14. And when they were come to the multitude, there came a man. There came to him a certain man, kneeling down to him, and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son. For he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for often he falls into the fire and often to the water. You know what's the first thing, that point that stands out to me in this scripture? I didn't see this man run to some golden image. I didn't see this man run to just some average person out on the street. Who did he come to? Who did he come to? What did his faith lead him to? He knew that there is a man who can fix this issue. That's why I'm here to you. I didn't come to you because I want you to hear my problem. I came to you because I know you can do something. Lord, have mercy on my son, who is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falls in the fire and into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? But you know what I always like about Jesus? Reminds me of my daddy. If I do something stupid, oh yeah, he's going to let me know I did something stupid. He's going to let me know. He's going to let me know that what I did not utilize the intelligence and what he told me to do. But you know what else he did? He would help me. He would help me. And that's what I like about Jesus. He said, bring him hither to me. Jesus never turned anybody away. So we shouldn't do that either. You know when that usually happens? When you're going through your issues, your problems, somebody may come. Do you know why they're coming to you? Because they're like, something about that guy. I've noticed even Cookie has problems at work. It may be an issue for him, but he has this calm sense about him. It's something about him. I can't put my finger on it, but he knows it's going to be okay. He knows it's going to be okay. And why do they come to you? Because they know that. They also know that you're going to probably do something to help them, especially when they know that you're a Christian. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. That man's faith about that much. What did it lead to? His son being healed. Obviously, if he didn't have that much faith, do you think he would have came to Jesus? No, he wouldn't have. Something in him said, you know what? I'm going to go to that man because I know he can fix that problem. It's another good example in the scriptures. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 34. This story usually sticks with me because it's something about this actual story and the faith this woman had that really just, it captures me. Starting in verse 25. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had and was not better, but rather grew worse. When she heard of Jesus, came in the press behind him and touched his garment. Another example of faith. She didn't go to Jesus just to see what this guy's all about. Or, Jesus, who is this? No, she was like, mm-mm. She didn't say, come lay your hands on me. She didn't say a prayer. This is the faith that this woman had. She came in, pressed behind him, and touched his garment. For she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. When I think about the faith that she had, she didn't, like I said, she didn't say, lay your hands on me. She didn't say a fancy prayer. She said, all I have to do is touch his clothes, and be made well. There isn't a thing in the world that I think anyone could have said to convince her otherwise. She didn't say touch her, or to say, she said, if I do what I need to do and touch his garment, I will be made well. I don't know about you, but that's faith to me. Not even to touch him, but to touch his garment, an inanimate object. She knew, if I touch his clothes, I will be made well. It's like me walking up to Sam and just touching right there on the side of his shirt. All right, I'm good now. No, I know it. That's a lot of faith. And continue on with the story. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And this shows you the power of Jesus. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, who has touched my clothes? Who has touched my clothes? Not him, his clothes. And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging me? And sayest thou, who touched me? The disciples are like, Jesus, all these people out here, you want to know who touched you? Look at all these people out here. We don't know who touched you. Why would you ask that? All these people are here. I couldn't tell you. And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. Which basically means Jesus looked around and but the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him the truth. I want you to notice something. The woman, fearing, trembling, but look at this key word right here, knowing. She knew this man had the power to heal her. She knew. And from the way this is describing, her faith was unwavering. She's like, I don't care what you say. I know if I touch his garment, I will be made whole. Not to touch him, but to touch his garment. And he said to her, daughter, thy faith, what does that word say? Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Her faith. Her faith led her to believe that if she touched his clothes, and she could be made well. Remember I said faith will drive you to do some things? It'll drive you to say, you know what? This is going to happen. As a Christian, that is exactly how we need to be. I can't think of a time that Christ hasn't been there for us, that he hasn't provided for us, that he hasn't taken care of us. And even if I may say, you know what? There wasn't one time frame I went through an issue. I always stop to think about something. If it ever happens to me to go off on some random tangent, I'm always quick to say, wait a minute. I'm breathing right now. I have a reasonable portion of health and strength to do what I'm able to do. Oh, he's there. He's always there. You want to know something else? He always provides a way out for you. There's always a way out. He will never give you more than you can bear. I'm not saying you're going to like the way that's out. I'm not saying that at all. Just like I'm not saying it's going to be easy being a Christian. But I'd rather suffer now than suffer on that day. I think it's bad when I hear my daddy tell me, when I'm growing up, even now, still afraid of him. Whenever I do something wrong, boy, or he'd call my whole name, Ernest Lewis Peoples Jr. I knew it was going to be a bad day. I was like, what did I do? But I don't want to hear that on the last day just because I didn't have faith about that small. Another good example. Still thinking of the book of Mark, the fifth chapter. We'll look at verse 22 and 24 and then 35 through 43. In verse 22, and behold, there cometh the ruler of the synagogue, Jairus, by name, and when he saw him, he fell at his feet and besought him greatly, saying, my little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she be made healed, and she will live. You know what I noticed about this? When he saw him, he fell down at his feet. You know what that means? He recognized who this was. He knew the power that he possessed, and he also knew what this man could do. And then going through, we just went through the story of the woman with the blood flow, and we'll go down to verse 35. While he yet spake, there came the ruler of the synagogue's house, certain, which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Right there, somebody say, you know what? She's already dead. What can he do now? She already dead. Don't worry about bringing him over here. Don't even worry about it. She already gone. Of everything that those that people have seen Christ do, they ask him for, the nerve to say, she's dead. What can he do? What? Verse 36, as soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only what? Believe. Starting point, only believe. And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John, the brother James. And he cometh to the house of the ruler of the synagogue and seeth the tumult, and them that wept and wailed greatly. And when he was come in, he said unto them, Why make ye this ado and weep? The damsel is not dead, but sleeping. Imagine that, like, sleep. She's gone. What do you mean sleep? She's gone. And they laughed him to scorn. You imagine that, like, what? Jesus, what are you talking? She's gone. You want proof? Check a pulse. She's gone. She's done. What are you doing here anyway? We don't need you over here. But when he had put them all out, he taketh the father and the mother and the damsel and them that were with him and entered where the damsel was lying. And he took the damsel by the hand and saith unto her, Tali thy kumai, I believe I said that correctly, which is being interpreted, damsel, I say to thee, arise. And straightway the damsel arose and walked, for she was of the age of 12 years, and they were astonished with great astonishment. All it took was that much. And obviously they still had that much because they took him to the house, they followed him, and they did exactly what he said. And look what happened. The child is alive. Their child is alive. One of the other good examples that I really enjoyed in the scripture was Mark 7, 25 through 30. Mark 7, 25 through 30. And what this one, what I like about this particular one about faith right here, even though this woman wasn't one of God's people, she knew one thing. I'm not going to go to this God I worship. I'm not going to this man right here. I'm not going in. I'm going to him because I know what he can do. And what I really like about this is her attitude and how humble that she is. Verse 25, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. You notice the pattern there? What did she do? She didn't come and say, like, Jesus, come heal this child of mine. Come on, let's go. No. Or she didn't say, you know what, Jesus? I don't think you have the power to do this. I dare you to bring her back to life. No. She came to him and fell at his feet. She recognized his presence, who he was, and what he could do. The woman was Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would come and cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, Let the children first be filled. It is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast to the dogs. And she heard this and said unto him, Yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. Two things in that statement. One, he let her know, you know you're not of my people. But two, what I like about her attitude is she recognized her position in that in no shape, form, or fashion could she demand anything. But she let him know, Lord, I understand. I deserve nothing from you, but please help me. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she came, and when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. We as a Christian, that's exactly how we need to be. Continue to be humble. We know he has the power. We know he does. We wouldn't be here. We wouldn't live our lives the way that we do if we didn't believe, if we didn't have that faith. We wouldn't be supportive of one another if we didn't have faith. We wouldn't love one another if we didn't have faith. You notice the whole building block right here? Faith. And look what all it leads to. Things working out and being A-okay. A thought process, something I keep in mind all the time. I'm very appreciative I had the opportunity to share that with you. This faith that we as Christians have, it's one of the greatest things ever, to know that we can trust in something and know good and well. It'll never fail us. But you know what we as Christians need to understand? That there are those out there that don't, they don't have that. They don't have something to place faith in like that. That's where we come in at. Not only are we here to continue uplift one another and to help each other, we're here to bring that good news to those out there who don't know it. So if there's been something that's said this morning to convict you, for those who need to come to the truth, or if there's something that weighs heavily on your heart, we're here to help one another. We're here to support each other. We're supporting cats. We help each other out. We know that we are all that we physically have here on this earth to support each other. And we have Christ to lean upon as well. You have that opportunity to do so as we stand and sing a verse, select a song.